Good morning. So my name is Quentin. Most people just call me Q around here. I'm the executive pastor here at Life Point Church. It's really good to be with you guys. We're in the middle of a series on the book of Judges. And you may go, well, maybe you're new here. Maybe you hadn't been around much. And you go, well, what exactly is the book of Judges? Well, just kind of where you get the context of that to put it in perspective for you. Now, in the Old Testament, one of the main characters we see is a guy named Moses. And Moses is chosen by God to help free the children of Israel from Egypt. All right, so we see in that Moses is introduced, and we see him in the Exodus, and we see him in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, all this stuff. We see Moses involved in all that. And after him is Joshua takes over. And Joshua is the leader after Moses. And he kind of leads the children of Israel to the Promised Land. And he's the military leader and just kind of leader of the people there. And then after that, we get what then consists of the book of Judges. The reason it's called the book of Judges is there's all these people who at different times kind of rise up to be the leaders in those moments. They're the judges for Israel. So they make judgments, and that's why they're called the judges, right? Like, should we do this? Should we not do this? They make a judgment. And so there's men and women throughout the book of Judges that are these judges for Israel. And that's what this book's about. And so that's kind of why this book gets its title. And we're going to, at this point, we've kind of dealt with some lead up and some background story to the end of Judges, the beginning of Judges, and what's led to Judges. And now we're about to go into talking about some of these individual folks. We're about to see some examples of that over the next few weeks. And I get to kind of lead us into that. And I'm really excited. I really like this part of Scripture. In fact, this part specifically, I've been looking forward to for a few months because I've been studying for it. I've been just love what it has to convey to us. But before I do that, let me just ask I'm going to ask this question a couple times this morning on what you love and if anyone loves this. So this is kind of just a weird question, but does anybody love the rain in here? Anybody love the rain? A few of you guys love the rain? Okay, good. You know, I hear that a lot, right? And we've had a lot of rain. Like last year, we had like no rain all summer. And this year, like it seems like there's nothing but rain. We played the inaugural disc golf tournament last weekend, right? In a downpour. So I walked around and got completely soaked and threw frisbees into our goals here on Life Point campus that's been put up. But it was fun. I actually won my, what's that called? My division? Yeah, I won my division, just saying. So if you want to take me on some disc golf, just let me know. It's a real high impact sport. I feel really good about it. Because all this working out is paying off here now, right? You know, but it was wet, and we've had some different things canceled, sports things been canceled. Jeff's telling me about concerts they're supposed to play gets canceled. A guy yesterday was telling me they're supposed to take their snow cone trailer somewhere, it got canceled. Like everything's like being canceled, right? And I've got this field behind my house, and it's owned by the lady we rent our house from, and she's a single lady, so she got a tractor. So sometimes I'm like, hey, I'll go bush hog that for you, right? It's not a big deal. And like yesterday, we rushed to get home. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to run out there and try to get a few laps in before the rain gets here. Because it's just been so wet. You can't cut it. And that stuff keeps growing. And I don't want to like be bush hogging a jungle. So I'm like, I'm going to go hit a couple rounds of this. And I like literally get halfway across. And you just feel the, oh, a few drops. And then the bottom just like drops out of it, you know? And I don't know that field. So I can't turn the tractor into high speed. So like I'm just like low speed and just go back. Just getting drenched, you know, soaked. But we say we love the rain. And here's my thing about that. When we think about loving the rain, right? It's interesting that we say that because we don't really, I think, love the rain per se. A lot of us love like the ambiance of the rain, right? We love the rain hitting the roof. Sitting down on the couch with a nice cup of coffee or hot tea, getting Netflix ready, just kicking back and relaxing, right? Like, we love the rain on the off day where we can just lay on the couch and take a nice 30-minute, 3.5-hour nap, right? Right? That's why we love the rain. I mean, it's not, like, when we say we love the rain, you know, it's not like when the rain comes, people who love the rain run out into the rain and just let it get them drenched. We don't do that, you know? And it's funny because I lived in the Northwest for a few years, and it's weird up there. They're so used to the rain. Like, they don't use umbrellas up there. It rains, like, all the time. We were in Oregon, and one March, it rained every day in March. It's not an exaggeration. In some form or fashion, it rained every day in March. And so you just get the point where you're like, oh, it's raining again. And you just go about life. You don't run. You just go about life, and you get wet, you know? That's why Nike makes so much money up there in the Northwest. They sell all that stuff that just dries real quick, right? Everybody wears it because you're just going to get wet. And I'm just thinking, like, sometimes in life, I wonder sometimes if we're like that, more things than just the rain. Like, I wonder if we're like that with saying, you know what, I really want God to do something amazing in my life. I want to be a part of something extraordinary. I want to be part of something exceptional. I want to be part of something amazing. But it's like we don't want to get out and let the circumstances of what that cost us affect us. We really, what we want to do is we want to, like, sit there and watch the stuff outside the window. It's not like we don't want to have to feel all of what it might take for that exceptional life to happen. I wonder sometimes if we really just want to sit and watch with our cup of coffee the exceptional things God does take place. And see, I think that sometimes in Scripture, God says some things to us that is like, you're really like, wow, what's that all about? Like, what's that really mean? You know, what is God trying to say here? And he's going to say something in this Scripture that's really interesting. We're going to go over it in Judges this morning. And it's interesting because it's kind of counterintuitive than what we would expect. So let me read it, and then we're going to kind of jump in. We're going to read two verses initially. We'll read a little more later. But in Judges chapter 3, if you have your Bible, verses 1 and 2. It says, now these are the nations that the Lord left to test Israel by them. That is, all in Israel who had not experienced all the wars in Canaan. It was only in order that the generations of the people of Israel might know war, to teach war to those who had not known it before. Like, isn't that interesting? Because you think, okay, after Joshua, they'd gotten into the promised land, you think maybe what would happen is it'd be like, all right, so now no more war, right? Now peace. God took away all the people who would go to war against them and gave peace to the Israelites. That's kind of what you might expect to happen, but here we see it. No, God says he left people in place so that the generations that existed would know how to have war. And I just started thinking about that. And I was like, why is this happening? And I tell you, I think there's two things we're going to pull out of this Scripture this morning. Two things are going to be really important. And I think the first one is this. We need to understand this. And I think God's saying this here very clearly. God wants us to know how to fight. All right? Now, I said who loves the rain. Who in here loves to fight? Does anybody love to fight? Anybody? You know? My brother raised his hand last time, so don't feel bad if you're going to raise your hand. You know? It's the one guy I was hoping wasn't here, my brother, because my brother is... look, we were raised... There's just two of us, me and my brother. So we love each other a whole lot, and we fought a whole lot. All right? You get what I'm saying? We were raised in the country, and we were just, you know, two good old country boys, and we would just... You just fight sometimes. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I would sometimes run to my brother and, like, hold him down and just make him mad. Be like, I'm stronger than you. I'm bigger than you. Don't forget this, right? He's three years younger than me, you know. So I would just, like, make sure he knew who was the more dominant male of the two of us. Dad still is dominant male. Let me say that. He might whoop me later. But between me and my brother, I wanted him to know that. I just remember the time I realized the tables turned, right? I remember the time that tables turned. I was sitting watching TV. I don't remember what I was watching. Probably G.I. Joe. I loved G.I. Joe when I was a kid, all right? So I was probably watching G.I. Joe. And my brother comes in and just, like, pushes my head, like, really hard down to the floor. And I immediately hop up because he knows. I mean, I'm like, oh, there's retribution coming now. Like, this is the day of judgment taking place. Like, you don't do this. Like, you don't know what you started, you know? So I jump up, and he runs into our bedroom we shared. And as I turn the corner, he's waiting with a baseball bat. He had planned this out. See? he planned this out. And he hit me right in the knees with a baseball bat. And he said, "Don't shove my face in the carpet no more." And I said, "Okay." And my brother loves to fight. One time I would not let him play football with my friends that were older. We were playing flag football. I wouldn't let him play. And we had these toy symbols like, you know, fun little toy. Well, he takes one and like a ninja, throws it like a ninja star toward me. And the next thing I know has sliced my head open on the top. Yeah. I don't know if my dad believed in stitches, so now I have a scar. But we grew up just, you know, in this, like you grew up around, and we both took karate. When we got older, I trained with a kickboxer for a while. Used to, at college, we would just box in our dorm rooms. Like we just fought, you know, we fought a lot. And then I got married, right, to a lady who was the only daughter and had two brothers. And she knew how to fight, right? I don't win fights with her. And then we had kids, and we had three daughters. And I never knew I could be outwitted by a 9-year-old. Yet it seems to happen on a continuous basis. It's like our family, like, I mean, it's just, we're fighters. We're going to fight for what we want. We're going to be vocal about it. We're not going to cower down. Nobody in my family knows how to cower down. We just don't. We're fighters. You know, this is how we've been. I'm one of those weird people that like conflict. Like, bring like conflict, let's deal with it, you know. I don't run away from it. I'm just kind of, this is how I'm geared, you know. And so I start thinking, like, you know, God's telling them, these nations are coming so that you can be trained in warfare, so you can learn to fight. And here's why I think that's important for this nation. Then I'm going to talk about why I think it's important for us. See, you had a generation being raised up that they were living on the memories of what had happened. So when they would talk about the awesome things God had done, they would talk about when Moses was at the Red Sea and when God had parted the staff, God had parted the sea and Moses had put his staff out and they had walked across on dry land. None of these folks had did that. But when they were talking about who God was and what God did, that's what they were talking about. Right? And they would talk about how the sea came and killed all the Egyptians. None of them were there. But that's what they were talking about. And then they might talk about, man, remember how awesome Joshua was, man. Remember the battle of Jericho when Joshua surrounded the wall with the army and they marched around it and the wall collapsed in and they began to take over Canaan. None of this generation was there. But when they thought about who God was and what God did, that's what they talked about. And see, God wanted them to have their own stories to tell. And God wanted them to have their own experience. God wanted to show up in their lives through the battles that they would fight. God wanted them to experience the same exceptional life that the generations before had experienced. And he knew that this only comes through warfare. Now, when we talk about fighting, a lot of times in church, we talk about fighting political things, or we talk about fighting, you know, just certain, like when we think fight, we think maybe fighting just a specific people group or an idea. And I'm not saying you shouldn't stand up for some of those things that you feel called to stand up for. But the battles I'm talking about here are twofold. Number one, they're personal battles that happen in your life. And number two, they're gospel endeavors. All right, get that. Personal battles in your own life. And number two, gospel endeavors. What I mean by that is that some of the battles we have coming up are, some of the fights that we are going to be in are really, really tough, right? Some of them are health things that you're going to find yourself fighting through. Some of those are going to be diagnoses you did not want or did not expect to come in your life. They're going to come, you're going to have to fight through them. Some are relational. Some are fighting for your marriage, trying to make sure that you do whatever it takes for that marriage, you got to fight for it. Some are financial. You're going to find yourself in a place where you're going to be scrapping financially to make things happen. These are real fights. And these aren't just there to tear us down. I believe that these fights come along to strengthen us. That God allows us to fight these fights to walk out the other side stronger. And here's the honest truth. This fight that you're in now, or the fight you're about to go into, will not be your last one. There seems to always be other fights. Or it can be gospel endeavors. Some of us in here, there are fights waiting for us where we need to be reaching out to our neighbor across the street who doesn't know Jesus. That's our fight we're supposed to be taking on, and we haven't decided to take it on yet. Or some of us in here are supposed to be leading in some capacity, or volunteering in the church in a different capacity, or leading in ministry somehow. Some of us may be supposed to be taking responsibilities in our workplace, or some of you may be supposed to be doing entrepreneurial business ideas that God's given you, and you're supposed to step out there so you can use that for the gospel and glory of Himself. Some of us may be being called to missions, foreign missions, across the seas, across the world. And these are all coming to us as fights. These are not easy things, because these are hard things that we have to step into. These are battles that we have to walk into, and they take time, they take energy, and they will wear us out. But these things are put in front of us so that we won't become a group of Christians, a generation of Christians who are sitting inside, sipping our coffee, and watching God do all these amazing things out there. These things are given to us so that we'll be engaged in the battle, engaged in the conflict, and experience the things that God desires for us to experience. Man, too long have we just laid back. Too long have we just said, you know what? I'm just going to come to church on Sunday, and that's kind of all I need to do. No, there are battles for us to fight and engage in. And the fight that we're fighting prepares us for the next fight. And then it prepares us for the next fight. And the truth is that when we're in the middle of the fight, here's why it's so important. Christ shines brighter in the middle of our fight. When Moses is in the middle of the conflict with the Egyptians, God is seen. When Joshua is in the middle of the conflict with Jericho, God gets put on spotlight. And why God was telling these guys in this generation, you need to fight, is because God wanted to make sure they saw who He was and the people around them saw who He was. And when we engage in the fights that God's given us, and we struggle, we fight through them, then God is seen in our lives as well. And that's why we have to fight. Now, there's a book that a guy's writing named Irwin talks a lot about this type of stuff. And in it, he's writing a book called The Last Arrow. And I just thought this is a really cool illustration. But if this quiver, let's pretend we all get a quiver when we start life. And each arrow is a battle we decide to step into. And some of them we can't help, right? Some of them are, hey, we have got a financial battle we're having to fight. We have got to step into that. We can't just, I guess we could duck away, but we've got to step right into the middle of it. And so there's that fight. Right? We engage in it. Or some of it's, you know what, I got diagnosed with cancer, and I don't know how to handle that, but I'm going to step into that, and I'm going to try to fight. I'm going to just be a fighter. So we engage and we fight. Now, my kid is like so far away from where I feel like God wants them. I don't even know what to do, but I know one thing. I'm going to fight for my kid. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to engage. It's going to be a fight I spend the rest of my life. We shoot our arrow. We fight that fight. But then there's some that's like the ones we choose, right? You know what? My neighbor does not know who Christ is. I'm going to begin to earnestly love that person, pray for that person, engage with that person, minister to that person. For as long as I live right here beside this person, that fight's going to be my fight, right? Man, I'm going to find some young people younger than me. If I'm a guy, I'm going to find a couple of young men. If I'm a lady, I'm going to find a couple of young ladies. And I'm going to disciple them. I'm really going to invest in them for years. I'm just going to pray for them. I'm going to teach them what I know about God. I'm going to be there for them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to walk with them. And that's a fight, right? And there's all kind of else. You know, I'm going to go in the mission field. I'm going to go to Mexico on a mission trip. We have our Mexico team leaving soon. Our next year, we're going to London. You might say, I'm going to go to London, spend some time in London on mission, just sharing the gospel with people. I'm going to live my life so that it matters. Because here's the problem, guys. If we don't do something, then this thing stays full. And what this man said I thought was amazing. He said, you don't want to end life with a full quiver. You don't want to get to the end of your life. It's the only life we get and have not shot all your arrows. This is our chance. This is our however many years we have, whether it be 50 or 70 or 100. We have arrows that God gives us, opportunities, battles we can step into where we can take the shot with our arrow. We can step into the conflict and we can allow God to change us, to use us, and to show off who He is. And the goal at the end of the day is to have an empty quiver and have shot all our arrows. Now this, God desires for us to fight. You know, let me say this before I move on, because I want to say this. We have this group in our church that's so pivotal that you guys, most of us don't understand how much we can gain from them. There's a group of senior adults in this church who've been with us for quite a while. Some since the very beginning of Life Point. And can I tell you why it's so amazing? Because they're in the end of, I don't say the end of life. Sorry, guys, that makes sense. Right? They're at the last stage of life, though, right? And they are still fighting the fights that we should be fighting. It's amazing why I see cook teams cooking on CR who are senior adults who are cooking at CR. It's amazing why I see senior adults here volunteering cleaning this church, or senior adults going on mission trips, or senior adults serving their neighbor, to hear about our senior adult life group and the ministry they do. Can I tell you what? They're fighting their fight the whole way through. And they don't come here because we make this place for them. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but we don't, like, I'm just saying, you might be surprised. We don't on Sunday, or we don't during the week go, you know what? I wonder what kind of light pattern the senior adults would like in here. We don't do that. But they stay plugged in here because they understand there's a mission greater than their comfort. There's a mission to reach people who need to know Jesus. And they found a place they believe can do that. And they've decided to fight a fight. And we can learn a lot from them. What they've done. So I think, you know, we see this. God's, I'm putting these nations there so that you have to learn to fight. God is going to put things in our path so we learn to fight. And here's the other reason I think He puts these things in our path. We're going to see this in verse 3 and 4. So it says, these are the nations, the five lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites who lived on Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal Hermon as far as Lebo Hamath. They were for the testing of Israel, to know whether Israel would obey the commandments of the Lord, which He commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. So number one, he wanted them to be trained in warfare. But number two, we see that God wanted to see if they would obey the commands of the Lord, right? And the second reason I feel like that we have these battles come up, and the reason we engage in these fights is not just so that we can learn to fight, but secondly, so we can learn to trust God. Because when you're stepping into some of those personal fights, be your health, be your finances, be your relationships, you have to learn to trust God. Big time. And it's not easy. I mean, it's so much easier to stand here and say that and to live that. And we all, whatever we're going through right now, can just come to mind like, yeah, Quentin, that's easy for you to say, but you don't know what I'm going through. I'm thinking that to myself. Quentin, that's easy for you to say, but you don't know what you're going through. I'm like, yeah, I do know what I'm going through. You know, we say that, right? We say that. And it is easier to say. But God is desiring for us to trust Him through the fight. Desiring us to lean on Him. And it, can I be honest, every major battle I found myself put into, even the ones I didn't know how to handle in that moment, can I just be honest and tell you that God used those for His glory. And God changed me through those. Now, I remember when I first felt called to ministry, right? That's a battle. Like, I was on scholarship to play college football. Started as a freshman, was loving it. And just this real call that God said, I want to use you for something different. I walked away from a scholarship and I walked toward ministry. I didn't know anything about how to be a minister at that moment. But I knew I could trust God. And I remember when we first decided to plant Life Point. I was like, man, I don't know how to do that. I didn't have any idea really how to do that. And I had to walk away from some jobs, and man, I worked at Mitchell's Grocery for a while and just got in at the very bottom floor. I was a reclaim specialist at Mitchell's Grocery. If you wanna know what that means, it means all the groceries that had been messed up or broken or cracked or tore got sent back to Mitchell's Grocery. Got put into a warehouse where they usually sit for 4 or 5 months. And then I'd get a little scan gun and I'd put in the name of the store that sent it back, and I'd scan all those things back in the system. When we planted Life Point Church, that's what I did. I scanned those things. I mean, it was a battle we stepped into. When we started doing ministry down in Mexico, I did not know what it meant. If you said Quentin build a house, it would be a very bad house you'd live in, all right? And now, like, he just sent me this place in Canal, and now we've been doing ministry down there 5 years longer than even Life Point's been around. I've been going down there, and now we've been going down there, and there's over 150 or 200 houses that people have built down there. It's so amazing. The house that the group's building this year, they're rebuilding a pastor's house that's got termites in it. I'm like, man, we have now been building houses so long that a house can have termites in it. That's pretty incredible what God's done down there. And that's not, I don't know how to do that. Like, I'm not equipped for that. But I was called to the battle.